Spirit Radio Podcasts.
One of the things that I still find it hard to really fathom is during World War II, more than 6 million Jews were either killed or died of neglect at the hands of the Nazis. And one thing that is really important is for those who survived, that we hear their story, especially for younger generations, that lest we never forget, really. Well, our next guest is one such man who at the age of 9 was put in the Bergen-Belsen concentration camp, but thank God survived. He's lived in Dublin since 1959 and now focuses a lot of his time on educating younger generations to inform them of what happened 73 years ago, so that history never repeats itself. And this Wednesday, there's going to be a documentary that he's involved in called Condemned to Remember. It's going to be on RT1. He's also the author of a book called I Was a Boy in Belsen. It's great to have joined with me in studio, Tommy Reichenthal. Tommy, thank you so much for joining us on Spirit Radio this morning.
Thank you for having me.
First of all, Tommy, for many, many years, for about 55 years, you didn't speak about your experiences in Belsen. Why was that?
I didn't. It wasn't that I didn't want to speak about it. I just couldn't speak about it. And I'm not a unique. I mean, there are thousands and thousands of Holocaust survivors that they just can't speak about it. And it's not only about survivors. They're even the liberators of Bergen-Belsen. When they arrived there, what they saw. And I remember seeing a British soldier crying when what the scene that they saw in Bergen-Belsen. And so it's not only the victims, but anybody that was in that environment and saw what a human being can do to another human being, they just can't speak. It's you know, they were researching this many years, but with me it was, I just stopped talking about it. I never talked about it when I came out. If people didn't ask me, I didn't speak about it. In fact, my wife passed away 14 years ago to cancer. She never knew anything about me. I only told her that I'm a Holocaust survivor, but I never told her what I went through. My children only found out about me when I started to write first. Before I spoke, I started to write some articles in magazine about my experiences. And that's how they found out what I went through.
I visited Auschwitz a number of years ago, Tommy, and just as an ordinary person visiting a place like that, it really deeply affected me for at the time and for a long time afterwards. So I can only imagine what it must be like for you when you are now talking about your experiences. What was the? I mean, you said you started writing articles, and of course you've got the book. Once you started writing about your experiences, did you just feel it was important to keep educating people about what happened in Belsen?
Absolutely. First of all, I lost 35 members of my family. And I am one of the last witnesses, really, to this horrific event of Holocaust. Because anybody that is younger than me and was in these camps, they hardly remember anything. And anybody older than me is passing away. I'm 82 now, and most of the Holocaust survivors today, they are in their 80s and 90s. So in the next 15-20 years, there none of us will be left. And the horror that happened in Bergen-Belsen was such that even if you compare it to Auschwitz, Auschwitz was an extermination camp. There was horrific thing happened there, and about 1.5 million Jews and other perished there. Yet the life people that lived there was not comparable to what was in Bergen-Belsen. I interviewed a lady, Anita Laska. She wrote a book and spoke, and she was evacuated from Auschwitz to Bergen-Belsen happened. And she was a witness at a trial in Bergen-Belsen. But when I interviewed her, I asked her, how did you feel when you came to Bergen-Belsen? And he said, well, Auschwitz was a terrible place, but Bergen-Belsen was something that was a horror to go through. So it was a terrible place.
You were just nine, Tommy.
I was nine, and Bergen-Belsen was not extermination camp. In other words, we didn't have gas chambers there. There was no mass execution of people or anything like that. Yet in Bergen-Belsen, over 70,000 people perished. And they died due to starvation, disease, basically typhoid. We had an epidemic of typhoid, and per day, 500 people were dying, about 17,000 per month in the last 2 months, February and March, about 17,000 per month were dying due to disease, starvation, and cold.
What do you remember of that time? I mean, you were very, very young.
But I remember it's something that you can't forget, because we had a crematoria in Bergen-Belsen where they would burn the corpses, which was, of course, deliberate. The Germans didn't want to leave anything behind. So if later on somebody come, they can say, nobody died here, we have no graveyard or anything. They burned the corpses. But of course, when this amount of corpses were dying, the crematoria couldn't cope with it. And the corpses were left lying all around the place. And as children, we used to run among these corpses that were decomposing and rotting away. So that's what I remember. It's just something so horrific that to describe is very difficult.
It's those things must be burnt in your memories in a way, and it must have had a massive impact on you as a young person, especially as you said yourself, you lost so many family members.
Yeah, and the thing is that I remember these family members. They used to come for holidays to us, because we lived in a village, so it was always a little better than in town. And my cousins, they used to come for the summer holidays. We used to play, chase each other, and have a good time. And one day we said goodbye to them and never saw them again. So it's not that I'm speaking about somebody that I didn't know. I knew them. When we come together in the family, we speak about these people like they are among us. They're still in our memory, the people that we love and knew them, and they were beautiful people, intelligent people, and they're no longer around.
Tommy, you said it yourself a few minutes ago, and I think anybody who has read your book or learned about the Holocaust, you think to yourself, as you said, how is it possible for human beings to treat each other in this way? Is this one of the reasons that you are so passionate about now sharing your story?
Yeah, I think that I owe it to the victims that their memory is not forgotten. So, you know, I didn't speak for 55 years. Now they can't stop me speaking. You know, I spoke to over 100,000 students, visited over 500 schools, and I'm getting invitations all the time. I tell them about this, and it's very important that we educate the young people specifically about the Holocaust, so it's doesn't happen again, because it's not beyond the imagination that it could happen again. In this film, Condemned to Remember, we visited Srebrenica. I actually prayed in Hebrew. I prayed in Hebrew over the graves of the Muslim people that perished during the genocide. And this happened in 1995. It didn't happen in 1945. It happened in Central Europe, in civilized society. So we can't say like we, when the war ended, we said never again. We can't even say it anymore because it could happen again. And today we have the refugee problem. Nobody wants them, which is from historic point of view, history repeating itself. In the late 30s, when Jews wanted to escape the Nazism from Europe, nobody would take them. Among them, of course, Ireland wouldn't take any Jews. And then, of course, this horrific tragedy happened. So we have to be very careful that history doesn't repeat itself. And that's it, basically, the subject in Condemned to Remember. It's a very interesting angle to show that the similarities of the late 30s and 2017 with all these right-wing parties are getting hold in the parliaments. They're getting seats. In my own country, Slovakia, they hold 10% in the parliament. And these people, their ideology is the same as the ideology of the 30s and 40s. So these times are very, very important that people are reminded, and especially the young people are taught to about racism, what xenophobia, what can be a result of this. And that's what I'm doing. I'm warning the students when I'm giving lecture, when they see that people are bullied in the school, which is happening, and they are racist, that they shouldn't become bystanders. They should get involved. They should stop it and make sure that it doesn't happen.
So that is your message to young people. What for? And Tommy, of course, sometimes I imagine, and it's going to happen more and more as you speak to people and you're speaking to younger generations, where really a lot of them won't know a lot about the Holocaust. A little bit maybe from history books or things, but not really. What is the key thing that you try to communicate with young people when you talk to them?
Well, what I trying to communicate, the horror that people did years ago, before I started speaking in the school, what was learned about the Holocaust was basically what happened during the Second World War. And for Holocaust, they would devote a couple of hours. So people learned that 6 million Jews perished. But it is something that you can't grasp. You can't really 2 million, 3 million, 4 million, 5 million, 6 million. That's like entire island, population of the entire island. They were intelligent people, scientists, doctors, inventors, and all musicians, and the old society disappeared. And that's what I'm showing. We all have a story. I have my unique story. But all of us that were in incarcerated during the Holocaust have similar stories. But this is my unique story, to tell them what really happened in these places. Because nobody, if you read it in the book, it hasn't got the impact. And when they learn it in the schools, you know, you listen to it after a while, you forget about it. But when I'm speaking, as a person that is part of this history, I visit the school 3 years later again, and the teacher will say to me, you know, the kids are still talking about you when you were here last time. So that's the huge difference, and that's what I think that I'm leaving a legacy behind, that the Holocaust really is keeping in the memory of the people that listen to my lecture. And
in terms of the documentary then, Tommy, you've touched a little bit on some of the things that you covered in the documentary, but tell us a little bit more about the documentary Condemned to Remember. What can people expect?
Yeah, first of all, what you expect, it's begin with the story from Close to Evil, from my last documentary that I wanted to meet, the SS woman. Her case was eventually, she was sued by a German historian because by her own admission, she participated in death march from Poland to Bergen-Belsen, and many people died in this death march. And according to the German law, of course, if you participated in where crime was committed, you participated in the crime, even though you have no witness to say, I saw this person doing something. But the fact that they were there, they are participants in the crime. So eventually the case was dropped, and it was dropped because lack of evidence to prove that she actually was present when some crime was committed. But so we wanted to know why the prosecutor dropped the case, and I interviewed the prosecutor. By the way, since then, they discovered more evidence and her case is again open. So she might eventually stand the trial. From my point of view, the trial would be very important as a moral trial, not for the punishment, but because she gave evidence and testimony to the Bergen-Belsen archive, and she told a lot of lies. I would like that these lies are refuted, because if in years to come, maybe in 20, 30, 40 years' time, somebody, some academic will be researching the Holocaust and he come upon the testimony of Hilda Lisiewicz, that was her name, he can take it as a face value and accept that she started telling the truth. So from that point of view, it would be important that she stands trial, but to see her going to prison or anything like this, it's too late. She's 95 years old now. So it's up to the German what they decide, if she would stand trial. But while we were doing this documentary, the event of the refugees problem began to unfold in Europe. Many refugees were trying to escape persecution, rape and murder in Syria and in other places where the war engulfed the civil population, and they were trying to escape. And of course, nobody wanted them. And it reminded me very much what happened in the late 30s. And we decided with the producer to follow what is happening. And we found out in various countries like Slovakia, where I come from, there are the right-wing party with the same ideology of the 1940s are getting places in the parliament in Slovakia, for example, they have 10% of the seats, which is very dangerous. There is a lot going on in Hungary, in Yugoslavia. We had the Ratko Mladic case now. He was sentenced to life imprisonment for what happened in Yugoslavia. What happened in Srebrenica, we are showing that. And of course, all Europe, and mainly Eastern Europe. We have the Polish laws that were now introduced, that you can't talk about guilt of Poles, the collaboration during the Holocaust. So it's very up-to-date film, very interesting film, and I would encourage anybody, if they can, to watch it on Wednesday.
Well, if you just joined me, I've been chatting to Tommy Reichenthal, author of the book I Was a Boy in Belsen, and also the documentary that's taking place on RTÉ1 this Wednesday, the 14th of February at 9:35. It's called Condemned to Remember, and I certainly recommend you watch it. Tommy, thank you so much for joining us on Spirit Radio this morning.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.